Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our sermon text tonight is found in Luke chapter 3, beginning in the first with the first verse, and I would invite you to rise. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. So far, our text. Let us pray. O Jesus, blessed Advent King, help us to prepare for a true celebration and remembrance of your birth. Send your Spirit to help us both to acknowledge our sins and to repent of them. For only then can and will our hearts be filled with joy when we hear again that in you we have a beautiful, wonderful Savior who has lived and died to pay for our sins, and a loving Heavenly Father who forgives us for your name's sake. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, our local newspaper goes by the name of the Herald, the News Herald. And Herald is a popular name for newspapers because a herald is one who announces, one who is a messenger who brings news. If you're reading a newspaper like our Havasu News Herald, there should be something new in it every time. The weather changes. There are new events, new things going on in our community. The newspaper is supposed to bring you news about what's happening right now in the world. In one way, John the Baptizer's message was like the newspaper reports. His message was timely, and it was current for the people who heard him out there in the desert. But in another sense, that's where the similarity ends, because John's message was for us too. 7,500 miles away, 2,000 years in the future, his message is still an important message for us to hear. John talks about the future, about the Savior from sin. He talks about eternal life. And his message is an eternal, unchanging message. John was called by God to go out into the desert, and he was to wear rough clothing made of camel's hair and eat locusts and wild honey, and most importantly, he was to preach to all who would listen. God was announcing to Israel a message that they needed to hear, but it's not a message that they exactly wanted to hear. John was to tell them that the spiritual condition of the people of Israel was even worse than their political condition. And remember, John fills us in on those details. He Luke does, he reminds us rather that Israel was being oppressed. It was occupied territory. There were three tetrarchs ruling, and they were tyrants appointed by Rome. The land was occupied by soldiers, overtaxed by extortionist tax collectors. But worse yet, the people of Israel had departed from the true religion of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their patriarch fathers. And instead of looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, instead of thinking about their sins and repenting of them and trusting in the promises that God had made to their people, they had turned their attention to all kinds of other stuff, to their traditions, to maintaining genealogies and this whole man-made system of laws and rules and ethics that they had dreamed up. And they hoped that by their efforts, they would somehow be able to save themselves by pleasing God, by making him happy with their behavior. And to them, God said through John, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." This was the message that John was to take to all the people out there in the desert to prepare them for the coming of the Savior. And it was a much needed message for them. Because if the people didn't think that they needed help, if they thought that they could get this figured out and get their problems with God ironed out on their own, then they would miss the Savior and they would ignore the Son of God. Because remember, he didn't come with all his great glory. He came as the humble Son of Man. And they would refuse God's saving grace. They wouldn't even recognize it, and they wouldn't live eternally as a result of that. That message of John calling people to repentance is not out of date for our world. Not at all. If anything, the world right now is worse off than it has ever been. Many believe that there are lots of different ways to some God or another, even though Jesus says there's really only one God and only one name under heaven by which we must be saved. Many believe that sins are not really that big a deal, but Jesus says that there will be no wicked people in heaven. So many false gods to spend your time with, loving money, leisure, or living your life consumed by bitterness, and anger, or sadness, and so on. We need to be clear, dear Christians. We need to be clear, and we need to heed John's message too. Even though the world all around us has changed, even though we live in a world filled with technological marvels and medical wonders, the hearts of mankind have not changed one bit. We're still conceived in iniquity. We're still born in sin at enmity with God, as the scriptures say. The inclinations of our hearts are only evil, only self-centered. If God had not come to us, if he had not given us faith and hope and love through that eternal, unchanging message of salvation that John and all the Christians before us proclaimed, if he had not done that for us, we would not know it. We would not have any hope. We must look to our Savior. We must look to him alone and turn from our sins and our pettiness and our selfishness. We are not preparing our hearts for Jesus if we are just trying to find excuses for our sins or just thinking of them as mistakes, or if we try to compare our sins to other people as if to say, well, my sins are not so bad, his are so much worse, or hers are so much worse. God, you should pay attention to that one, not me. When you realize that inwardly and outwardly you have not turned to God with all your heart, as John says, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, when you realize that you have not loved your neighbor as yourself, when you have glimpsed that and come to Jesus weeping and mourning, we must believe in Christ and turn from our sins. That's the message that John was preaching, and there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's no other way. The way that John proclaimed is the same way that Moses proclaimed. It's the same way that Christians have been proclaiming since time began. Should God allow the world to continue, it will be the same message that is preached from pulpits across this world until he returns. And we're thankful. We praise God that he has given us this sure and certain message that isn't going to change on us. Yes, part of it is bad news and hard news on our hearts, but he has given to us the gospel as well. The good news that has given us faith, that has turned our hearts around in repentance, that good news about Christ. And so we gather here in places like this, at times like this, to praise God that he treats us like the prodigal son in the parable, that he comes out to us. He rushes out in love to us who have sinned so terribly against him. And he wraps us up in his arms. And we cry out, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just like that prodigal son. We rend our hearts knowing what we have done to him. But we rejoice that he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Take his word for it. That's what he tells us. Jesus died for you. Jesus did that because God loves you. Because he wants to forgive you your sins. He wants to make you a child of heaven. He wants to adopt you into his family. And in order for that to happen, it was necessary that his own son pay for our sins. Pay with his own life. That's why Jesus came. That's why he did not come down in his great glory, but he came down as that humble child in Bethlehem and grew up and lived and went to Jerusalem. That's why he went there to die for us. And that's why you need to hear again and again that your sins are forgiven. Because it's not something that we do. It's something that God has done for us. Believe it. You're a child of heaven. And God keeps coming back and telling you that, because sometimes as we look at ourselves, we can't imagine that that could be the case. But he wants us to know it. This is the way of salvation. And it's never changed, and it never will. It's a narrow way. So narrow that we could never walk it ourselves. So narrow that God has to carry us and lead us. And it's an unpopular way, too. People didn't think of John as a rock star. Maybe some of them did, but I think they wondered about him. And in the same way, people will wonder about you, too. They'll wonder why you confess such an unpopular thing. You can expect some trouble when you proclaim his name here in this world. And yet it is the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. John's message is that eternal, unchanging message. He says, repent, and he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the scriptures say. We have the forgiveness of sins through the riches of his grace. Believe that, fellow redeemed. Believe that. Trust what God is saying to you and repent. And know that you are forgiven for Jesus' sake. That's the message that John wanted to proclaim to the people out there in the desert. That's why he came to prepare the way for the Lord. So let us listen and be prepared by that message as well. Let us repent. Let us trust God's promises. Trust what he says. This is John's message and his mission out there in the midst of the desert. And here in this desert, why, let us make that our mission and our message as well. And share it with other people so that together we might make straight the way for the Lord to enter hearts with that message of forgiveness and love that leads to joy. And may we have it in our hearts to always be ready to tell people about Jesus, to tell our friends and our relatives and our acquaintances and our neighbors so that they would know that they have a Savior too. So watch, prepare, rejoice, and behold, the King of Kings is drawing near. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.